In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest sermon ever preached was 53 hours and 18 minutes. Now, if you do the math, that's about a 2.5-day sermon. And I can't speak for my colleagues here this morning, but I promise to always keep my sermons well under 53 hours. On the other hand, the world's shortest sermon is made up of just one word. An Episcopal priest from Michigan by the name of John Albrecht holds the record. When it was time for the sermon, Father Albrecht got up from his seat, walked up into the pulpit, faced the congregation, cleared his throat, and said, "Love." And then he sat down. Some of his parishioners said it was one of his best sermons. Now, I think most of us would agree that love is a very important word. After all, it appears hundreds of times throughout Holy Scripture. Countless songs and books and movies have all been written on the subject. And a few weeks ago, billions of dollars were spent on Valentine's Day, all in the name of love. But on the other hand, love is one of those words that is so overused that it tends to lose its meaning, doesn't it? For example, we may use the word love to describe how we feel about someone close to us, maybe a spouse or a family member. And then use the same word in the very next sentence to describe our favorite dessert. But as we know, these aren't the same kinds of love. Although I have to admit, sometimes when my wife holds up Krispy Kreme next to me, it's awfully, awfully close. Unlike English, Greek, in which the New Testament was written, has several different words to describe love. One kind of love is called eros. And eros is the romantic type of love wrapped up in the emotions or feelings of falling in love with someone. Another kind of love is philia. And philia is the love found in close friendships. It's where the city of Philadelphia gets its name, the city of brotherly love. But there's another kind of love, very different from eros and philia, called agape. And agape is the gift of love that asks nothing in return. Unlike eros and philia, it doesn't depend on close friendships or romantic attractions. Instead, it is a self-sacrificial, unconditional kind of love. There's nothing we can do to earn it, and it's freely given to us. And that's exactly the kind of love we find in today's gospel lesson, which, by the way, contains one of the most popular verses in all of Holy Scripture, John 3:16. Maybe some of you memorized it growing up in Sunday school. "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Martin Luther once referred to John 3:16 as the gospel in miniature. And I think the powerful thing about this particular verse is that it just doesn't talk about God's love. It shows us what God's love looks like. Unfortunately, I think a lot of Christianity these days gets reduced to the discussion of an idea or a set of beliefs. And of course, our beliefs and our doctrine matter. They are important. But Christianity is not simply about following the rules and believing in a correct set of beliefs. After all, as Holy Scripture reminds us, even the devil believes in God. As we know, it's possible to believe all the right things and still remain miserable, unchanged people. When we're hurting, when we feel empty and afraid, when we're lost and we're not sure which direction to turn, usually a better idea is not going to help us. What we need is a Savior. Today's gospel lesson shows us that the power of God doesn't lie in an idea or in an intellectual argument, but in a person, in the Word made flesh, in Jesus the Christ, who didn't just talk about love, but willingly came to show us this self-sacrificial love. Now, God could have just as easily said, "Here's a sacred document. Accept whatever it says and follow it." But God didn't come among us as a set of instructions, but as flesh and blood, as one of us. In the middle of the 19th century, when leprosy broke out in the Hawaiian Islands, the government responded by establishing a leper colony on the island of Molokai. And all of those who were affected by this horrible disease were forced to leave from their family and their friends, and they were taken to this island called Molokai, and they were sent there to die. And upon hearing about this awful situation, there was a young Roman Catholic priest by the name of Father Damien who voluntarily left the comfort of his home in Belgium and moved to Molokai. For 16 years, he lived among the lepers. He learned to speak their language. He embraced the bodies no one else dared touch. He bandaged their wounds. He preached to a people that would otherwise have been left completely alone to die. But he didn't stop there. He organized schools and bands and choirs. He built homes so they would have a place to live. He built thousands of coffins with his two hands so that when they did die, they could be buried with dignity and respect. Thanks to Father Damien, it was said that the island of Molokai became a place to live rather than a place to die. Father Damien wasn't careful about keeping his distance. He did nothing to separate himself from the lepers. He ate with them, he laughed with them, he cried with them, he got close to them. Then one Sunday morning in 1885, when he got up to give his sermon, instead of starting with the customary brothers and sisters in Christ, he began his sermon with, "We lepers." Now he wasn't just helping them. Now he was one of them. From that day onward, he wasn't just a visitor on their island. He was in their skin. First, he had chosen to live as they lived, and now he would die as they would die. Now they were in this thing together. God loves us so much that he chose to come to our island earth and begin his message with, "We lepers." Now he wasn't just helping us, now he was one of us. Now he was in our skin. Now we were in this thing together. The author and pastor Tim Keller puts it like this: Jesus lived the life we should have lived and died the death we deserve to die. God's love is not based on a feeling or emotion like eros, and his love for us goes far beyond the brotherly love of philia. If we really want to know how much God loves us, all we have to do is look at Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Today, may we receive and embrace this good news. And with God's love, may we go into the world and share the world's shortest sermon with others and love. Amen.